So if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn over to John 14. We're going to get there in a moment. This is what we're going to be doing for the next few weeks. Other than next week in the park, we'll be doing something different for that. But I want you to hear some of these stories from people in our church, because it allows you to get to know people better and to know their story and to know kind of where they are in their journey of faith. And so, and I also understand that Chris was like, when I was telling her what dates, she's like, could you do it today? Why today? Because I'm on vacation, okay? Because I understand, right? It's probably a little nerve-wracking to sit there and watch yourself on a screen for a few minutes. So please help me, for those of you who know her well, just communicate to her to just thank her for sharing her story. And if you've ever been here, some of you, you know, walked in, you know, on a Wednesday in the fall or winter and wonder, why are there so many kids here? And why does Ed put up with that? You know, I've been asking, can you just like put something on your window? No, because of that story, that's why that happens, okay? Because we have some ladies who are willing to invite somebody in as they got together in their daycare groups just to get a little sanity in the middle of the week. And I do anything to make sure that they are here so that there are more stories like that. There are all sorts of opportunities around us, and that's one of the things I hope you hear today. There are all sorts of opportunities around us of people who have different experience that we have an opportunity to speak into their life. But Chris brings up something really, really interesting. She was painted a picture of God that was very different from what her friends were talking about. She had a very different picture of God. She would have what I'm going to refer to as a God who's really mean, angry, and distant. As long as you keep the rules and do what he says, everything works out. But oh my, it's almost like God's cheering us on. Sin, sin, come on, sin today, because I'm just going to wreck your life when you do. Now, I'm just going to tell you something. I would not give my life to serve that type of a God. I'm just going to tell you. A mean, angry, distant God, I wouldn't give my life to serve that. So I understand for people who that's what they've been told, that's how they grew up, that's what their picture of God, why they get to a point like Kristen said, yeah, nah, I don't want that. Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to give my life to that? Why would I want to go to church week after week and serve that kind of God? Why would I do that? Right? Why would I do that? And I think for us, it poses a really, really good question, because I don't think Christian's story is unique. I think it's a part of the story of a lot of other people who have grew up and have experienced a God that I'm just going to tell you doesn't exist. That is not who God is. Now, how do I know that? How do I know that? I want to introduce you to kind of that today. But the first thing I want to ask you is, what do you think God is like? What do you think God is like? Because I would bet you that based on either how you grew up and what religious background you grew up in, if it was none at all, you have a picture of what God is like. You have an idea of what God is like. You have an idea of what you think God is and who he is. And is he mean, angry, and distant? Is he close and personal? Is he angry all the time? Is he just waiting for us to mess up? Does he only take care of those who do what he says and follows all the rules? What is it? And what is God like? Because I'm just telling you, for too many people, they've been told God is mean, angry, or distant. Now, there is a growing trend. I want to tell you about it because I think it plays into all of this. So we've been seeing this at camp, that more and more we have kids going to camp who, on the form where it says church you attend, they have a word for that. You know what it is? None. In fact, I've just been amazed as that group has grown and grown and grown. Probably 20 years ago, when I first started at camp, it probably was one or two, maybe. It was always people connected to the church, families connected to the church, and even if they didn't go all the time, they felt a connection to the church. This year, out of 73 kids, 20 said they don't have a church. They don't go to church. They don't go to church at all. Church isn't part of their rhythm, but it's not part of their life. They just don't go. Highest it's ever been. That's a lot of people. In a small camp, that's a lot of people. And I can't help but wonder how many of those parents were introduced to a God who is mean, angry, and distant, and they really say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with that, and I certainly don't want my kids to have anything to do with that. So here's a good question for us to think about and ask this morning. How do we know what God is like? How do we know what God is like? How do we know we don't have mean, angry, distant God? How do we know what God is like? Because as we enter conversations with people who are far from God, who have experienced this, who have grown up like Chris did, and who have huge doubts and huge reservations and put a lot of space in between because of who they were told God is, how do we know what God is like? And before we reach for, you know, what I'm going to say is our pat answer, well, the Bible tells us what God is like. And all we have to do is read the Bible and tell us what God is like. But it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. We know what God is like because God came on a rescue mission to die in our place and rise again for our salvation and all the while show us who he really is. And that is in Jesus. Jesus came to die for our sins, rise again for our salvation, and show us what God is like. Show us what God is like. So we wouldn't have any doubts. So all the people who thought that God was mean, angry, and distant, that could be replaced. And when Jesus rose again, it changed everything. There's a reason there were no followers after Jesus' death until he rose again. Everybody left. Everybody deserted. You know why? Because Jesus made far too many claims about himself that his death just ended all of it. Well, he's dead. And he said he was God and he did all these things, but he's dead. I mean, what do we do now? There's nobody to follow. The person who said, I am the resurrection and the life, is now dead. What do we do? And so on that Sunday morning when they all gave up hope and nobody stood at the grave imagining that he would rise again, and when he did, it changed everything. Because now the one who came and claimed to be God and did miracles in his name and did all these different things now has risen. And now all of that is fulfilled in him. So that means everything he says is true. And everything he showed us is a picture of who God is. In fact, in John 14, you have your Bibles, most of us know verses 1 through 6 of John chapter 14. Okay? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come. Yeah, right? We know all that. Mansions, right? We have all our discussion. How big is my mansion? How big is your mansion? Right? All these different discussions. And then we get to verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's kind of where we stop. And right after that, Jesus has this incredible discussion with his disciples because he wanted them to know this. Disciples, people, you know what God is like. And John records this for us because no one else records kind of what happened in that upper room in that time before Jesus was arrested and taken to the cross. In those last moments with his disciples, look at this conversation that he enters into with them. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus, like, you do know who the Father is because you've seen him. You have seen me. Watch, and watch this. Now there's a question. Love it. And here's Philip. We always get after Thomas or Peter, okay? But here's Philip ringing in. Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. You've talked about the Father. You've alluded to the Father. You've told us to pray and use the word Abba, which is this personal name for God. You've done all this. So if you would just show us the Father, that's everything we need. That's more than enough. The word satisfied is just, it's all sufficient. That's everything we need if you would just show us the Father. And look what Jesus says. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am. It's like, really, after all this time? Really? 3.5 years, nothing. It's just kind of, you've just missed it. So look what he says. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Because that's all Jesus is telling us to do. You want to know what God is like? Look here. I have shown you who the Father is. You don't have to guess. You don't have to try to figure it out. Because let me tell you what happens to way too many people. They start in the Old Testament, okay? they start the Jewish scriptures, and they start reading, and there's a lot of things that either they come to one or two conclusions. Well, either God changed his total personality, he's schizophrenic, and I don't understand him, or, you know, we're just totally confused because we don't understand the purpose of everything God did leading up to the coming of Jesus. So a lot of times that just becomes very confusing for us because we're like, I don't get this and I don't understand this. And this God seems just mean, angry, and distant. He's just doing these things all the time. And Jesus says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So you and I, we don't have to wonder. We don't have to go, I don't know what he's like. Jesus showed us what he's like. Look, he continues. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And the words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me and does his work through me. And he ends with this. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the works you have seen me to do. That you've seen me accomplish. The things that you have seen. And this is Jesus' answer to us who would say, we don't know what God is like. And we're not sure what God is like. And Jesus would just say, I showed you what he is like. If you have seen me, if you have read about me, if you've read what Matthew, one of my followers, wrote, and John and Luke and Mark put down for us, we have a good idea who God is because of who Jesus is and of everything that he did. So you and I don't have to wonder. We don't have to go, I don't know. Maybe he is. You know, maybe Chris's grandparents are right. He's just mean, angry, distant God. And boy, you better not mess up or it's over. And as long as you follow the rules and you do everything right, everything will work out in your life. The only problem is that God doesn't exist. That's certainly not the God that Jesus painted for us. So if I can, for just a couple more minutes, just give you one picture of God that I just wish we could cement into our heads. And it comes from a story that Jesus told, because Jesus is the one who taught us who God is. It's probably one of the most familiar parables he ever told, and it's the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15. Probably the one of the most popular ones he ever took, probably the one, oh yeah, I remember that. But Jesus tells a story where he makes this son just to be the worst ever. I mean, he just sets it up and adds all these different layers to it so that everybody standing there is realizing this son is terrible. I mean, this son is awful. Okay? And the story starts off where he goes to his dad, and dad, I wish you were dead. Could you imagine your son, your daughter telling you that? Dad, I wish you were dead. Because if you were dead, at least, you know, I'd get your stuff. And if I had your stuff, I could sell it, I could get money, and then I could go do whatever I want. That's the setup here. Now we might kind of like, ooh, that would be terrible, okay? Just multiply that, because in Jewish culture, okay, it was even worse. It was even worse, especially for children to speak to their parents like this. You just didn't do this. So there's two groups, according to Luke, standing around that day. There's a group of Pharisees who think they do everything right and God must love them the most. And there are the tax collectors, the sinners, the people who've messed up, the people who aren't allowed in the temple, the people that would be a sign outside the church that says, no, you're not allowed in here. Okay? That was them. And they're gathered around listening to Jesus. And so he tells a story and all of them mortified. I mean, the people who are working for the Roman government ripping off the Jews go, wow, at least I never said that to my dad. Okay? They're even thinking that. And he goes and he takes his money and he leaves. And he goes off and he just blows it. Now, you need to understand that probably the father got reports back. Probably his friends came, hey, I saw your son the other day. You don't want to know what he was doing, okay? It's going to make you more miserable. And maybe they stopped him. Maybe they said, hey, I saw your son. You know what he was doing? No, please don't tell me. I mean, it was just over and over again. And it gets so low that Jesus takes it to the worst possible thing a Jewish boy could do. Go feed the pigs. The worst possible job, the one thing a Jewish boy would never do, is go feed the pigs and take care of pigs, because you weren't allowed near pigs. And there he is, and Jesus takes him to the lowest possible point. And then he says, you know what? The boy wakes up and goes, this is dumb. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? I could go back and I could beg and plead, and I could be a servant in my Father's house, and this would be so much better. And where Jesus takes the story that would have shocked everybody is what the Father does when the Son comes home. That is where this whole thing turns. And Jesus makes an incredible point to us on who God is and what God is like. And if you've ever been told something different, this is what Jesus says God is like. And he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. So what's the father going to do? The father going to let him be a servant? The father going to yell? The father going to scream? I mean angry, distant God's going to yell and scream and punish, and you're going to take this. And then Jesus says this. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. And everybody standing around, you just have to catch that. Everybody standing around would have been like, no way. No. That's not what you do when a son does that. That's not how you react when a son disrespects you. That's not how you act when he takes everything and squanders it. That's not how you react when they go and get the worst job possible. That's not how you react. You yell, you scream, okay? You make him be your servant. You do all sorts of different things. You are certainly not filled with love and compassion. And yet Jesus says that when someone turns and recognizes, man, this is not working. This is not working. Living my own way, doing my own thing. This is just not working. Maybe God is what some of my friends have been saying he is. And so they begin to turn. And you know what they find? They don't find me angry, distant God. They find a God filled with love and compassion, waiting for people to turn around and recognizing that life would be so much better with their Heavenly Father. See, he's not filled with what we would think. Even put yourself in the story for a moment. I know, but we love our kids. Yeah, but pushed hard enough, we do get angry, don't we? If you're going to say, no, I'll just ask your kids, right? Parents ever get angry? Yeah, you know. Right? We do. We get upset. And here's God, right? In this moment, in this pivotal moment, Jesus is telling us, but that's not how God reacts. But that's certainly how we react. That love and compassion await for those who come home. That love and compassion await for those who come home. Which is far different. And what's fascinating is if we could just get this, and if we could just get this into our heads and cement it into our hearts, it would totally, I believe, change the way we think about God. We react to him, we come to worship him. Because I guarantee you, based on your week, whether or not it's easy or hard for you to come to church. Oh, but it's been bad, I've been terrible, and the last thing I want to do is come to church. Maybe you've talked to people who haven't been to church for a long time, and they've said something, because I've had people say this to me, oh, I can't go. If I walk in that building, that roof's going to cave in, okay? God's going to strike it with lightning, and I mean, something's going to happen, right? Why? That's mean, angry, distant God. But that God doesn't exist. Because Jesus says, you know what God is filled with? Love and compassion. Who knows that we are going to screw up, mess up. And instead of waiting to strike us, to mess us up, he is filled with love and compassion. Partly because he knows, we already know. We already know what our stupid choices have done to our life. We already know that. We already know the pain that we've caused by the stupid choices we make. Why do you think God needs to multiply that or do something to remind us further of what we've already done? Instead, he's filled with love and compassion. He is filled with love and compassion, waiting for those to come home. And this is where you and I can engage in people's stories. Because I have to just wonder how many people have grew up thinking that God is mean, angry, and distant, instead of realizing that he is for you. He is for us. That every time we see a cross, we're reminded of that. And that people far from God, they need to see a God very different than what has been painted for them, than what has been told to them, than what has been explained to them. For us as Christians, I'm just telling you, for those of you who you know, just kind of head down, and boy, you just feel a lot of guilt and shame, okay? The cross tells us in Christ over and over again that God is for us. He is for us. He is on our side. And that you don't have to. You don't have to walk around like that. The Father is filled with love and compassion. He is not mean, angry, or distant. He is actually for you. That's what I want you to just kind of remember today. You have no idea who you will engage in your life, who's grown up thinking or being taught or seeing it in our culture talked about that God is mean and angry and distant. And with your friendship, as other people have demonstrated this morning, you can actually engage somebody and get them to think differently by saying, oh, no, that's not God. I'm sorry that's the version you've been told. I'm sorry someone went there and caused you to just put great space between you and God, but that's not God. Can I introduce you to the loving Father who did everything to come and rescue and redeem and save us out of his great love for us? So I want to pray for us this morning, and then we're going to sing a couple songs. And as we do, you know, I would just ask you, if you don't think that God is a compassionate Father, full of love and compassion, I would just ask you to rethink that this morning. I'd ask you to rethink that. And I have friends who grew up in different systems, if that's the way they left. And you know, I don't blame them. I don't blame them today. They are far from God because that's who they think God is. I just keep trying to convince them that God doesn't exist. And that is not a God who would come and rescue and redeem and save. And for those of you who wonder all the time, God is not mean, angry, and distant. He is full of compassion, full of love, waiting to work and redeem and rescue our lives. So let's pray this morning. Thank you.